Amen. Hallelujah.
No. Because of the board. Just sit U-shaped.
Yeah.
You.
Yes. Our visitors, you are welcome. You just come and take this chair. The more you approach, just take this.
Will you come on later?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm just getting the feeling, touch a little bit of Babylon. Okay. That's the tabernacle. I just want to go back to the tabernacle and Babylon.
My brothers and sisters in Christ. That is the highest calling to be the saints, the brethren, the saints of God. Okay. So, where do we begin now?
I'm coming.
Okay. My brother is coming. You know, in the fellowship, there's no male speaker.
Well, God has given me the strength. I don't have the strength, but the strength has come from somewhere. Amen. So, it's God, not me. I'm very tired. So, I actually like this setting. Because it shows the fellowship and sharing. And we hope that it will help you to be relaxed. And then to ask questions.
We talk to each other.
In this place, you have a lot of experience. Our two sisters here, they have a lot of experience.
Heart to heart.
So the sisters, if I were you, I would use the opportunity.
Yes.
You know, before this time, it's only the men that have been coming. Is it not so? Only the men. Now you have the ladies. Amen. Amen. And then Brother Bera and myself have been coming. Now Mzi has come with us. Mzi means somebody elderly and respectable.
Moses.
Moses has come with us.
Moses, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And then another brother is going to join us later, Brother Wak. He came yesterday night from Nigeria. Amen. So we'll just share from the scriptures, and then I'm sure God will lead us. I don't really know where, but I know God will lead us to touch the thing that is on God's heart. So as I sat there, the word dropped in my mind about Babylon. And then I saw the drawing that Brother Bot had made in the morning here. So it just quickened in my mind to talk about Babylon. Because I know this is the leaders. So it is good for you to know. And the scripture that coming to me is Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5. Verse 11. In verse 8 and 9, it was not about Melchizedek. I can't even talk about Melchizedek because of time. It says in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you have dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, go on. You have need that one teach you again, which be the principles of the oracles of God. And I become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So he's trying to say there's a difference between milk and strong meat. So in this kind of gathering, we should not be talking about milk. Milk are the things you give to very small babies. I remember Paul was telling them in 1 Corinthians 3 that he has fed them with milk and not strong meat. But even the milk, he couldn't even receive it. That is, they are so carnal. They were fighting one with another. I am of Paul, I am of Apollos. Say, I belong to Paul, Paul baptized me. And so on and so on. And that's what you have in the church today. I am from Baganda. I am from Tutsi. I am from Tutsi. I am Nigeria. I am America. I belong to Pastor Paul. I belong to Pastor Wilson. My church is Anointed Christian Ministry. It shows milk. Childishness. And Paul said, even when he was ministering to them, because of all those things, they couldn't receive even milk. And he was designed that they could come to maturity so that he would give them something stronger. Because, you know, when you are growing, milk cannot be enough. It's not enough to meet your nutritional needs. How many of us know that just as you eat in your body, that your soul also feeds? In book of Proverbs, chapter 2, it tells us about that some people eat the bread of violence. They eat the bread of violence.
Okay.
And not to say that the word of God was sweeter than honey. That the word of God was sweet to me and it filled me. And Jesus even told him about the bread of life. So the word of God is what fits your soul. But other things can also feed you. The words of men can also fit you. The things you see around can also minister like you. So many of us were filled with trash. And our soul is so lean, so weak. And when your soul is so lean, you cannot engage in spiritual warfare. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. But you must have faith that when you resist, the devil will go. You must have faith in the word of God that if I resist, the devil will flee. Many of us, we don't believe that the devil can flee. Not to talk of even having the strength to now say, I will resist. So you come to the church and the church is weak. Childish. Bound by sin. Bound by the world. Sickness and disease. You know, we Christians are worldly. You copy the world, you dress like the world. And the reason is that the soul is so weak. You are eating too much milk. That you don't have any spiritual muscle. If you want spiritual muscle, you must eat strong meat. So that you can grow. So that you can be grow. To be strong. And you say, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Amen. Mm. So you can rise up as the army. So that's what God is saying to you today. That you need to grow. You need to begin to desire something more than what you have. You have been hearing the word of God, yes. But most of the time it's just milk. If you give God 30,000 shillings, he gives you 30 million shillings. Multiply your money. Prosperity. And God, you know, God's supermarket. Heaven is supermarket. You point and claim it. And all those things that they teach you. Milk. Hallelujah. But God said we should move on. So we're talking about Babylon. You know, it's something a little bit harder than what you are used to. Okay, so the first place you see that word Babylon is in Genesis 11. So you need to write it down. Genesis 11 is the first place you see the word Babylon. Babylon. And in that Genesis 11, it says that they came together to build a big tower. And God did not ask them to do it. They thought it was good. It will be good for us to build. So that we can make a name for ourselves. So that we will not be scattered all over the world. And the Bible said they came together and they began to build. And as they began to build, the Bible said that God came and brought judgment. So in the church you have many building projects. Because you must learn the principle of the word of God. Any word that God speaks to you, you must apply it to yourself. If not, it's of no use to you. So if you read about Genesis 11 about building, you know, a big thing. It's a history, something that happened in the past. It was a testimony of somebody. It's a testimony of what happened in somebody's life. Experience some people had. But you see, that experience must speak to your own experience today. So every word that you have has a spiritual dimension. So the Bible says the words I say to you, they are spirit and they are life. The word of God is spirit. It is living. Even the words of men are also spirit. The words that men speak are also living. If you doubt it, switch on your phone. The text messages people sent to you are still hovering in the air. When you come to church, you switch your phone off. Immediately you go outside and put it on. You start hearing a pump, pump, pump. It's telling you that the text message has come into your phone. Because that message was still in the realm of the spirit. If you put on a television now,
whatever TV,
and you get the right frequency, you will hear Museveni speaking. Where was Museveni speaking? In his palace. The you in Zana, you hear him speaking. You can hear Obama speaking in America from Zana. Because words are spiritual in nature. So when you pray to God here, God hears you. You say some words, God hears you. So it doesn't matter where you are. And that is the principle of sorcery that they use in your village. They bring your photograph, throw it up. I said, this man will die at 12 midnight tomorrow. The spirit of my forefather, go and kill him. Is it true? Is it true?
Yes.
You believe that one. But you don't believe the Bible. Do you see our problem? We believe the one in our village. But you don't believe your own Bible. If God wants me and Brother Winston to go to Australia, and he says God spoke to him to go to Australia, where is that word God spoke? It's in the spirit. If I go to God and open my heart, will I hear that word? Will I hear the word? I will hear it. That's what our brother was telling us yesterday. You see, your spirit is like a radio transmitter. To receive from God and to send out to God. So if your heart is clean and you go to God to pray, you don't need to organize anything. You don't need committee meeting. The only thing you need is for men to be in a place of prayer. And everybody will be hearing what God is saying you should do. That is what God is calling you to do. But you see, in the system of men, everything must be worked out, planned. You must have committee. Transport committee. Cooking committee. Usher committee. Preaching committee. fetching water committee. Everybody will form committee. So you have removed God. You have removed, eliminated God. God calls it Babylon. That is the system of man in the church. So Babylon speaks of the organization. The mind of man coming into the things of God. And you are not quite sure God can take care of what he's doing. So you must help God. You have to organize to make sure things are working very well. But in the things of God, you don't need that. What you need is just a clean and obedient heart. You need ears to hear from God. You need to get your spirit tuned up to God. To the frequency of God. And you do that by prayer. By having a clean heart, by living a pure heart. You know, so these men gather together to build. And there are many young people here who are planning to build their ministry. Is anybody here? After this, you want to have a big church. Big church. God doesn't speak like that. God cannot ask you to go build a big church. You see, it's an image of what you think the church should be. Because of the tradition of the British people. You work with senior pastor. Then after 5 years, you now go out and become pastor. You start your own church. And then he becomes your father in the church. You now have a father-son relationship. It's not in your Bible. It's not there. Jesus is the head of his church. He is the head of his church. And the New Testament is telling us that the church is the individual, not the building. So what do you need the big building for? Unless God tells you specifically to go and do that. He says where two or three are gathered, I'm there. He is there. If it is in your house fellowship, God is there. It may be a big congregation, God is also there. So it's not that the human organization that you need. And the scripture said that in the world, they that, you know, that rule over them are lords over them. You know, they are the big men. But it says it shall not be so among you. That will be the chief will be what? Will be the servant. So there's no room for you to be the big pastor of a big church. Because Jesus is the head of the gathering of God's people. You know, so the church is a local assembly, the gathering of God's people. And the head of that local assembly is Christ. After Christ, you have an eldership, a group of men. Not one man. A group of men. Sometimes it might be one man that comes out. But if the person is matured, he knows that he has to pray and go to God to raise other men to join up with him. Because he needs those other men to minister to him. Because what happens today is that the pastor must preach every Sunday. He must preach every Tuesday. He must do miracle service by Friday. He must do night vigil or carry overnight on Saturday. And then you organize, have 5 services in one day. You preach for 20 minutes. But you have to take offering in every one of them. You see, those are the organization of man that's come into the church. And those things have taken away the life of God. So men are in the church, but they are not hearing God. They are not seeking God in their hearts. So the brethren who are there are not growing. They are not learning how to hear from God. How to obey God. How to walk with God. How to overcome. They have no experience. Everything is pastor. That's what the Bible calls Babylon, or the organization of man in the church. The organization that you find in the church is the organization of the body. Jesus said we are one body. In one body, there is only one head. Do you understand? So in assembly, Jesus is the head. And every cell in this body is controlled from the head. And Paul says that we all holding the head. It's a fitly joined to the head. And growing up to him. That every joint supplies. That means every aspect of this body is functioning. You don't go to Bible school to learn how to function. If God called you to be the heart, it is a gift that God has given you. As you grow in the things of God and in the fellowship, the Bible says a man's gift will make way for him. That calling of God will begin to manifest. And you begin to do what God has called you to do. Every joint in this body supplies life. That's how it should be in the house of God. That you must find your place. And in that place you are faithful. The Bible says it is required amongst stewards.
Sorry?
It is required. It is required amongst stewards that you should be faithful. That means God is calling you to faithfulness. To be faithful. It's not how big your church is. You might just be doing something, sweeping the floor. If you are faithful, God will reward the faithfulness. Not how big your post is. God rewards faithfulness. And in the body, every joint is faithful to supply the need, to do that ministry that God has called you. That is the body. And it is organized by God. God called you. He knows your gift. He knows your ability. If you seek Him, He will release you to function in your ability. And if in the body, those who are in leadership do not recognize the moving of God, to recognize how God is leading the various brethren and to encourage them to walk in their calling, then you see that men, everybody wants to be like the pastor, and the other needs in the body will not be attended to. So God is calling us to grow up as a body, and when you grow up in the area of your strength that God has called you. And everyone is listening and getting direction from God. And because it is the same spirit that will be speaking to every part of the body, there will not be any confusion. Because it's one spirit. Everybody is tuned at the same level, at the same wavelength. Oh yeah, but you say, yes, that was what God was saying to me yesterday. Yes, I'm confirming that what you are saying is what God was saying, because God gave me that same word. He said, by the word of two or three witnesses, every word of God will be accomplished. So you can know exactly what God wants you to do. When you go and pray, God will speak. And if one person hears it, another person will hear that same word. And that's how you have a witness of what God is saying. But in the organization of man, it's only the pastor that hears God. What shall we do? No, I'm not. The pastor went to market. Let's wait for pastor to come to tell us what we will do. So everybody is waiting for the pastor. You're not hearing from God. That is the organization of man. And God calls it Babylon. And the Bible says that God came down and judged their language. He judged their language and scattered them. And what that tells us is that God will always judge Babylon in the church. God will not approve it. The system of man in the church can never bring us to fullness. So, in Genesis 11, we see this principle of Babylon. But you see, there are other aspects of Babylon also that we need to understand. And you know, when you read in the scripture, you see where a principle is mentioned. It's good to follow that principle to the end, to see where it was last mentioned. So it gives you a full idea of the range of what that thing is addressing in the church. So when we go to Revelation 18, we also see Babylon. So let's go to Revelation 18 and see Babylon. Here we see it as the organization of man. Man wanting to build an empire for himself. And let me also emphasize that any one of us that has an ambition to build an empire, just perish the thought. Just throw it out of your mind. You will not succeed. Say amen now. You will not succeed. Not big ministry. Big empire.
Okay.
You will not succeed. Say amen. Okay, you don't want to say amen. Because you want your personal ambition to succeed. It will not succeed. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The plan of Jesus for you will succeed. Not your own plan. Hallelujah. Amen. When you are with God, forget about personal ambition. It's good to be honest with God. This is my ambition. This is my ambition. But today I give it to you. I ask you to take it away. So you should be praying that prayer in your mind as we are going on. So today is the end of this ambition. Say, God, give me your own plan. Show me your own plan for me, so that I can be part of your body. Not have my own organization. Hallelujah. God is anointing the body. So that it was like the oil they poured upon the head of Aaron. See, it ran down his neck down to the skirt. Hallelujah. If you remove yourself and you use your soul energy, your power, your organization, you will build a lot of big things, big structure. But what it means is that you will be fighting to control it, to keep it functioning. When you see any young man that is coming up, say, this man, I don't trust him. He's planning to take my church. He's planning to take my church. So you push him out. You find something and knock him out. You are working to control everything. You know what I'm talking about. You find a way to knock that man down so that he doesn't become prominent. When it is time to make an announcement, you say, no, don't make, I'll make the announcement. You make sure you put him aside, he's not prominent. When it is time to see special number, say, no, I will sing the number. Hallelujah. Say amen. What's the problem? Say amen. Yeah. Because you see, you are working to keep your organization. Because you built it. And you'll be looking for stories. Say, we heard him planning. He was looking at one church, one plan somewhere. It's like a planning to build a church somewhere. And you start listening to gossip. You see, all those things are because you have your own plan. Amen.
Amen.
When is the plan of God? You'll be at peace. So Revelation 18 gives us another dimension. So let's read it quickly. 18 from verse 2 to 4. It says, And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird.
Nayogera nti wagulu mudoboze dene lyamanyi ngayogera nti chigudde Babylon ya chinene ne chifuka ekisulo kya balubali ne komera eliabuli diamond ne komera eliabuli nyonyi embi
For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And, okay, yes. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies.
N'abatonzi b'ensi ne bagwagwa wala olw'amaanyi g'obukaba bwe.
And verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people.
Ne mpulira eddoboozi eddene eddala nga lyogera waggulu nti mumukifulumemu abantu bange.
That ye be not partakers of her of her plagues, partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. So there are, you see, the two things we are looking at. Every word of God has a natural application. Every word of God has a spiritual application. And every word of God has a third application, which is the application in your soul. The first application of this story is the Tower of Babel.
Okay.
This is the first application of this story. But we have just seen that this story can be applied to what is happening in the church. But the Bible does not stop there. You see, it has progressed. Now he's talking about the soul. So you see how the word of God has progressed from Genesis to Revelation. Now in Revelation, he's talking of something completely different. He says Babylon has become a habitation of every unclean spirit, every unclean bird. So what is he saying? That Babylon is not just a geographical location somewhere in Middle East. That it speaks of a group of people who have come together and they are executing their minds. They are bringing their mind into the things of God. They are not hearing from God. They are copying the systems in the world. They bring it into the church. I hear in some places you will have church secretary.
Sorry?
In some places you will have church secretary. Church secretary.
Okay.
Where is it in the Bible?
The Bible. Why
are you the church secretary? Where is it in the Bible?
You look the church secretary in the Bible.
Hallelujah. Babylon. The organization of man in the church. You have prayer. Oh, you are the church secretary. Hallelujah. Your job has finished today. Amen. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is the church secretary. Hey, Jesus. Where did they get church secretary from? Kampala Social Club. The king, what's that king's name? The king of this, what's his name?
Kabaka.
Kabaka Council. Because in the Kabaka Palace Council, you have a secretary. So, anointed Christian church must also have church secretary. You have not checked your Bible. Did Paul have church secretary?
Sorry?
Did Paul have church secretary?
Paul,
yeah. Did Jesus have church secretary?
Yes, ya ino muandisi.
Where did you see it to copy?
Kati mumwachi ko pawa.
From your mind.
Bamubirowozo byomuntu.
It is good. It looks very good. So because it is good, we must do it. After all, Entebbe Road Christian Church is doing it, so we too can do it. And that is what we are saying, the organization of man in the church. And the Bible said that God, he will judge it. Because man will always bring forth man. And you know, Adam is already corrupted with darkness. Adam has the nature of darkness. Anything that comes from man has darkness in it. And he can never bring forth the perfect will of God. Amen. We want the mind of God. We want God to bring it forth. And it is when it is brought forth by God that it will please God. God told Cain, bring an offering. He went to the ground and brought the things he found, he brought it. After all, God created the ground, so it's good. But Abel brought an offering also. But his offering was of blood. That spoke of his life. So God accepted the offering of Abel and rejected Cain. So also in the church you have many offerings of Cain. Offerings from the ground, from the earth, from the realm of carnality. Any offering you bring to God that comes out of the flesh. It may be a good song, but God won't accept it. Men might see you and say, oh, wonderful song. Wonderful message. But God is looking at the heart. The offering must be by blood. Hallelujah. So we must learn the difference between the flesh and the spirit. So in Revelation 18, where we read, it says Babylon has become a habitation, a dwelling place. A habitation of spirits. A place where spirits are dwelling. And he's telling you that your soul can become that Babylon. And somebody will say, oh, how can my soul become a habitation of spirits? The question is, what is soul? What does the soul mean? And the scriptures tells us that God says that the dwelling place of God is man. Now man is the temple of God. And we were discussing this morning and I asked them, how can God dwell in this body? Your body. How can God dwell in your body? Is it possible that God can dwell in your body? In your family, you have totem. You have totem. In the family, in the family, not your own. In the family, you have totem. What is totem? What is that term?
They tell you,
it is the spirit that is dwelling. That your spirit is dwelling in a dog. Or dwelling in the cow. And that you have another brother in Chiboga. And that you and that person, you cannot marry because you are brothers and sisters. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay, that is true. And your Bible is telling you exactly the same thing. That your soul is a dwelling place. That when you are born with spirits. Dwelling.
Good.
The spirits of your family were dwelling in you when you are born. The ancestral spirits were dwelling in you when you were born. The spirit of Buganda was in your mind when you were born. That's why when they tell you about Buganda, you jump up, you start jumping up because the spirit is inside you. Because the spirit is inside you, you know.
Yeah.
Because you say this one is actually that you start jumping. This is the
second.
That is what Revelation 18 is talking about. That there are spirits that are living in the soul. You are calling as a Christian is to drive out those spirits. To drive those spirits out. So that the Spirit of God will come into your mind. That is the summary. That's why God has called you. When you go to church, that is what you should be seeking to do. If you like, have the biggest church in Kampala.
Sorry?
If you have the biggest church in Kampala, and you have not done that, you have failed. Amen. Say amen. Amen. If you heal the sick, and the spirit of Buganda is inside, you have not achieved anything. And that's what the Bible calls Babylon. So that man is a dwelling place. Man is a house of spirits. And your village people know that. And that's why they use totem. You go to the village, they will call the spirit of somebody to enter somebody. And is that true? Yes. But why don't you believe your Bible?
Write the Bible to
that the Spirit of God can come into you. Hallelujah. That you open your heart and say, Jesus, come into my heart. And the Spirit of God will come and dwell in you. Amen. So we have been sleeping. But God has come to wake us up from sleep. Hallelujah. So you have to make a choice. Which spirit will dwell in you? Whose house will you be? A house of God, or a house of unclean spirits? And this is what God is speaking of. That we need, we should stop drinking milk. We need to come to the place of maturity. To know that God is interested in your soul. The condition of your soul. And this soul of man has four natures. Your will,
mulimu okusala wo,
ya emotion,
mulimu ebinebikwata ko ngomuntu,
ya desire,
mulimu byoyayanira,
and then your mind,
neunendo woza obuyo ebintu binange bikola ememe.
You know, for some of us, our mind is not important to God.
Aramu kwetu za debilo zo byafasibi kulu nye likatonda.
As long as I have come to church physically, Jesus is happy with me. And as you are sitting down here now, some of you are cooking chapati at home. Your mind is in your kitchen, but you are sitting right here in church. Hallelujah. Jesus said, my son, give me your heart.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, God told Samuel something. He said, man looked on the outward appearance. Man looks on the outward appearance. But God looketh on the. But God looks on the inward man. So God is looking at your mind. Where is your mind? Where is your emotion? Do you have unforgiveness in your emotion? I know your voice is the sweetest voice in the church. There's no problem with that. I only want to ask you one question. Is there unforgiveness in your emotion? Is there somebody that you have not forgiven and you say, I will never forgive? As for that sister, I will never forgive her. Okay, I will forgive, but I will never forget. I have forgiven her, but I will never forget. I have written it in my diary. So that means you do not understand what we are talking about, Babylon. Because Jesus said, you must love the Lord thy God with all your mind, with all your emotion, with all your desire, every aspect of your soul. You must give it to Jesus. All, everything, you must give to him. That is the offering. When you do not do that,
it
means you are walking in Babylon. Because those spirits are still there. Because when the children of Israel entered into the promised land, into Canaan, they met some Canaanites on the ground. They met some soldiers. Some of them had chariots of iron. Some of them dwelt on the mountain. Some dig ground and entered the ground. Some were short, some were tall. They had different natures. God said, you must drive them out. I have given you the land, but you must drive them out. Hallelujah. The soul of man has spirits dwelling there. Man has a nature of darkness from
birth.
And he came from Adam, the first Adam. When you receive the blood of the second Adam, you receive the life of the second
Adam.
You receive the spirit of the second Adam. And it's coming from your spirit into your soul. It has one objective: to drive out all the spirits. How will I know that the Spirit of God is driving spirit these things out? Is that there will be a change. There will be a change in your character. There will be a change in your personality. And the Bible says you'll be changing from glory to glory. Every day you are changing. Today you should have changed. Amen. And the Bible says the entrance of the word of God brings light. So the ones you are hearing is not to give you knowledge. It's to build faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. And hearing the word of God. So the word you are hearing is to build faith in you. To create something in you. To create a desire in you for God. You begin to respond to God. You begin to desire this change. And you begin to desire testimony and a change in character. It may be anger or bitterness or lust or whatever. It is there. But you are bringing it to God. Say, I bring my heart as an offering to you. That's why Psalm 51 says, say the sacrifices of God is a broken and a contrite heart. A broken and a contrite heart. And he says, a broken and a contrite heart, oh God, you will not despise it. If there is anything you know that God will not despise, it is a heart that is offered to him. You say, anyone that comes to me, I will not despise. I will not cast you out. So God is waiting for us to bring an offering. And you say, come as you are. He said, when you bring the offering, don't put any honey on it. No, that's, you don't coat it with honey to make it look good. As you hear the word of God, don't try to excuse yourself. The angel said, told Jacob, what is your name? Tell God your name. Name means nature.
Amen.
Say, God, I have been planning to have the biggest church in Kampala. Even you know, I have written a full document of it. I have even gone to register it in the Kampala City Council. Today, your word has found me out. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Deliver me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's an offering you're bringing to God. Don't excuse anything. I agree, red-handed. You have caught me red-handed. Right at the point. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you see, the Bible says, he that comes to God must believe. Do you understand? That's faith. You see, he that comes to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So if you say, well, God can never hear me, I can never change, I can never overcome this anger, I can never overcome this spirit. It was in my forefather, it was in Mzi, my uncle, it is even in my father, it's too strong, I can't overcome. Then that is, you don't have faith. You don't believe that God will hear you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when the word of God comes, it's to build faith in you, to make you believe that God is faithful. He said he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So this is what Bible calls Babylon. It is the offering of devils. Okay, he has been raising his hand. Let me get the question, yes?
Okay.
Which?
Okay, Echisoka.
Will. Yeah, will. Yeah, will. So these are the four natures. And Brother Bot was teaching this morning. And if you see the tabernacle of Moses, there was a big altar. That's when you come through the gate, there was an altar. That altar had four corners. That is the four corners of the soul. Do you understand? So this altar speaks of your
soul.
In the tabernacle of Moses, it was the table. In the tabernacle of Wilson, it is the heart. It is his soul that is this table. This is the place where the offering is brought. There was another table here. It's called the golden altar. This one was made of brass. This one was made of gold. This one is judgment. That's the place where God brings you to a place of judgment. This one is made of gold. The gold speaks of the nature of God. So you see, the soul is making the progress. As God is dealing with you, you are growing. Your nature is changing from the place of judgment to a place of gold. You see, there's also another table here. But this one is in the box, in the ark. The top of it also was an altar. But this one has now moved into the holiest of all. And God says, I will meet you between the wings of the cherubim. So this is the place where God meets with man. And the Bible says, our spirit and the spirit of God bear witness. So God is coming down upon your heart, upon your soul. So Proverbs says, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. So it says, don't play with your heart. If you're a young lady, don't let any man come and be telling you, I love you, I love you, when you don't know what he means.
I love you.
And if you're a young man, don't be telling any girl, I love you, I love you, because you don't want to damage the heart. You don't want to give ideas that you don't mean. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Marriage is for men, not for boys. Marriage is for women, not girls. Say amen now. Say amen. So if you're a boy, forget about marriage. Hallelujah. If you're a girl, forget about marriage. Because you want your emotion to be clean. If your emotion is not clean, this temple is destroyed. Don't you understand? You can't bring any acceptable offering to God. But the devil wants your mind to be defiled. And that is the spiritual warfare. In fact, the devil will build images within your soul. Particularly the mind. There are images in the mind. The Bible calls it imaginations.
It
says casting down imaginations. And every thought that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. There are some images that run in our families. It's in the mind. There are some images that run in our tribe. And there are some that run in the nation. And God told Abraham, you must come out from all of them. That's what we read. Say, come out from among them. And be not a partaker. So you must bring your mind and offer it to God. I said, my mind is not clean. God, change my mind. So, how do you change the mind? Who can tell us, how do you change the mind? This is supposed to be a practical. How do you change the mind? Repentance, okay. There are something that the scripture says, yes. By what? How do you control the heart? What does Psalm 119 say? 118 say? The answer is in Psalm 118. What does it say? Oh, is it 119 say, yes? It says, how will a young man cleanse his way? Another one says, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. So if you want to change your mind, you hide the word of God in your mind. You receive the word of God and meditate on it. You begin to apply it to yourself. You begin to change your mind by the word of God. You begin to think on the word of God. You listen to messages. You meditate, think. And gradually your mind will begin to change. Your appetite will begin to change. Your desire will begin to change. The way you react will start changing. If you are a very hard person, you begin to become more and more mild and soft. So what it means is that the character, the nature of Christ is now being worked into you. So this is the testimony we should be having in the church. And we should be helping ourselves to have this testimony. And this is where God wants us to be. But in the past, the church has concerned itself with miracles. With prosperity. With you know, mighty and wonderful works in the church. And those things are like milk. It doesn't please God. The sacrifice God wants is your soul. So it's better for a man to go to heaven with one leg cut off. Is it not so? If you heal the man's leg and he goes to hell, what have you profited? If he goes to hell with one leg cut off, is it not, you go to heaven with one leg cut off, it's even better. Healing is good. Healing is good. But it has its place. The healing you need is the healing of your soul.
Amen.
The healing you need is the healing of the soul. And that is where God is calling us to. That our soul must be healed. Our soul must be changed. From nature of darkness to the nature of light. And the Bible says that when we come together, we provoke one another to love and to good works. We're encouraging ourselves to change. Amen. We're encouraging ourselves to change by our fellowship, by our association. That is why you have a fellowship. We're encouraging ourselves to overcome. To overcome the spirits that run in our tribes. And if you look within yourself, you know the things that you need to deal with. And those are the things you must focus on. And you must believe God that He's a rewarder of those that seek Him. You must believe that God can make a change and bring you to that place where He wants you to be. So I think I'm going to stop here. It's possible that we'll have questions before we pray. Or maybe, I don't know if any of my brethren have something to add. So, any questions? You want to add something? You want to add something? Okay.
There's something.
Or maybe we should take the questions. Let them take the questions so that we'll get through this. Yes. Yes.
As the teaching has been going on, only now we see. There's some more light I need in some area.
I get the
in the church, we have placed there the organization of man. When we were talking about the secretaries of the church, Shouldn't we keep any record of our fellowship in terms of having a secretary? And how should it be, like in the division of labors among the staff of the fellowship? That's my question.
Amen. Sabir, you want to try? Well, how did Jesus keep his records?
Yes, your former record does it.
How did Paul keep his records?
In the time when Jesus was doing it,
there were no records. Amen. Hallelujah. So I don't know. Amen. And he didn't tell us how he kept his record.
And he didn't tell us how he kept his record.
That is true.
But I'm seeing even the Bible.
Yes.
It's written while
so the record.
There's someone who's writing for that.
Uh-huh.
So he's saying that Agamanti, Alava Anga, what is the one you come at you? The one you come to car. Those were all records.
Yes. And God also told them Joshua to make a record sometime. And of course, Moses had a record.
Moses had inner records.
But that is not what we have today.
So he's saying we want to know which is the best.
That's why we are walking towards it. And you walk towards it by looking at the scripture. We're looking at it together. So secretary and record are not the same thing.
Kakati secretary nebya ne records musibi ebimu bibili byawukana.
And the problem we're trying to avoid is to have a very rigid structure.
Kakati feche tugezaako okugamba bwe butaba nti tulina enkola eryemu.
And we also want to avoid a place where we are careless.
Ate twagala n'okuggyawo ekifo kigamba nti byonna ne bikwata ku oyo tetutadde mu bulamu bwaffe.
Amen. We don't want to be careless.
Tetwala kubeera batamanyi.
And we don't want to have a rigid structure.
Aye twala kubeera balina.
So what is the answer?
Kati answer we ye chebachi.
Very easy.
Ye no.
By the Spirit. Amen. So what is by the Spirit? In your situation you go to God. And you ask God what you should do. And he will tell you what to do in your circumstance. If you need to keep records, anybody can keep records for you. Without giving him an office as secretary.
Your secretary.
Do you understand? The problem is the office of secretary.
Kati ekizibu wano ye office ndi eno ya secretary.
I have records.
Nanga nina records.
Because you need to write down things. So that you can remember. So that you can remember.
Nembi jukira.
I don't need to go and get an official secretary. Unless God tells me specifically to do it. And then I won't do it because Wilson is doing it. God can tell him and not tell me.
Amen.
So we like to have uniform.
So
if you want to keep record, anybody can keep record.
And it's
good to have record. But you see, if record now prevents you from praying and hearing from God,
because that.
So your record keeping should not eliminate your relationship of speaking to God and God talking to you. And then also remember that Jesus is present. So he is the head. So when you have any issue, you go to him. So what do we do? And then he will lead you. He might tell you, get somebody to do it on a temporary or permanent basis. And he may tell the righteous not to do it. Because he doesn't want it there. So that's why I said the answer is to walk in the Spirit. Follow God. Seek God. Don't have any pattern in your mind.
And then
he will lead you in the way you will go. Amen.
Amen.
You want to try?
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I think it's good questions like this are coming out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It shows that our heart is in the things that we're being taught. Amen. It shows that actually we want to do them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that we're seeing a difficulty in doing what we are taught. And we want to know how can we overcome this. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, the first thing that is on my heart to tell you is that the problem actually is not whether you have a secretary or you don't have a secretary. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The problem is that an organization has a capacity to operate independently of God's Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now I want you to note this very, very importantly. When you have an organization and everything is in place, even if God's Spirit has gone away, that organization continues to function.
Yeah.
It can operate independently of God. It does not need God to work. The pastor is pastoring. The secretary is secretarying. The choir is singing. Everything is working well. But God is not there. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I want you to understand this. It's very important. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is natural in man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To function in such a way that you don't need to consult God. So you plan your life. You can plan your program from this January to the December. You know what is going to happen in April. You know what is going to happen in December. Hallelujah. Whether God comes or He doesn't come, your program will certainly go on. Hallelujah. Now that's not how God wants it. Hallelujah. You see, the body of Christ is not an organization. It's a living thing. In a living body, when you disconnect from the head, you die. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you disconnect from the head, you die. The church is dead today because it has disconnected from the head. It doesn't consult the head, and yet it is still functioning. That is a dead body, but a living organization. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Now I want to tell you something about God. You see, we have an organization today because we do not understand God. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, hallelujah, there was another way to the promised land. But He passed them through a desert. Why did He put them through that desert? He wanted them to depend on Him for everything. Every single thing. If they needed water, They had to ask God for the water. If they needed food, they had to ask God for food. God himself covered them. Without God, they will not survive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, this is the reality. The devil designed organization. Believe me, you inherited a satanic arrangement. Not just you, but me. That is what this Babylon is all about. If you look at Genesis chapter 11, where the Bible tells us about the origin of Babylon. Hallelujah.
Amen.
After the flood, hallelujah,
Amen.
There was a man. His name was called Nimrod. Hallelujah.
Amen.
His name was called Nimrod. Now, his mother was a sorcerer by name Semiramis. Semiramis gave birth to a son. You know what Nimrod means? It means, let us rebel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let us rebel. What are they rebelling against? The government of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Man wanted to be independent of God. It's nothing new. That was the same lie the serpent sold to Eve. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You don't have to consult God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you begin to eat of this tree, you will be like God. You know what is good. You know what is bad. You do it. Don't bother with God. From the beginning, Satan has always wanted to disconnect us from God. The moment he disconnects us from God, he becomes our God. That's how the devil took over in the church. The less dependent we are on God, the more dependent we are on the organization. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because we now have a substitute. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the administrator. But now we have able administrators. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Semiramis gave a name to her son. She said, this one will lead humanity in rebellion against Almighty God. We will not have to obey him anymore. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Nimrod grew up to be a mighty man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says that Nimrod was a mighty hunter. King James says, before the Lord. But if you look at your Hebrew, it means in opposition to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now he conceived this idea. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To gather men together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
From one unit. And then build a tower. Now that tower had several purposes. One was to secure humanity against another flood. Because they knew about the flood, he said, if there's another flood, we'll go on top. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Secondly, that tower was also a temple to worship the host of heaven. These were devils that God said, do not worship. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In addition to the tower, they planned to build a city.
Now, this is the beginning of organization. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Before men lived before the Lord. For the first time, men were going to organize themselves. And it was a direct challenge against God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the Bible says they were moving away from the east. The east speaks about the mind of God. That's where the light comes from. That's where the Son of Righteousness arises. And the men were departing from the presence of God. When we walk away from the mind of Christ, we are going to end up doing something contrary. And he said, let us build a tower. He said, let us make a name for ourselves. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One of the underlying reasons behind organization is to make a name for yourself. End time kingdom of God ministries. Hallelujah. It's just a name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Everybody wants to make a name. You want your name to be bigger than the other man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're already competing with him. You're already divided from him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
My church is bigger than your own. How many churches does Christ have? You tell me how many. Okay, praise the name of the Lord. Now, another thing they did is that instead of stone, using stone, they used brick. You know, you have a lot of brick here. Praise the name of the Lord. Stone is a natural substance. And the Bible says we are living stones. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But brick is a man-made substance. It was the work of their hands. Hallelujah. Now, instead of using mortar, they use slime, bitumen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, these things were things they devised in their minds. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God says, let's go down and see what they are doing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to tell you today that God is coming to inspect.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You need to make sure that what you are doing is what God has told you to do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why my brother was saying, it's not whether you have a secretary or you don't have a secretary. Make sure that you are doing what God has told you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that in that day you will stand approved of him. That's why God told Moses. Before Moses could start building, hallelujah,
amen,
God said, come up the mountain. Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights in the presence of God. God showed him what he wanted. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He showed him how big he wanted it. He showed him how long he wanted it. He showed him the color he wanted. He showed him the material he wanted. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then God anointed individuals. Not just anybody, but individuals to do that work. You don't start doing anything without hearing from God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is not a business arrangement. This is the house of God. God already has his design.
Today, people are doing different things because they are not hearing from God. He said to Moses, make sure you build according to the pattern that I've shown you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
These things are very important so that your work will be approved. You will notice that each time God tells a man to build, when that man finishes building and dedicates that house, something happens to that house. The glory of God comes and fills that house.
Amen.
When Moses built the tabernacle, the Bible records that Moses did everything as God had commanded him. You go to your Bible and check it out. That term is repeated over and over and over. He set up the tent as God commanded him. He did this as God commanded him. He did this as God commanded him. So that Jesus could testify of Moses that he was a faithful servant in all that he did. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As I'm talking to you today, God is building a house. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In the day that Moses finished the house, that house was dedicated. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That house was dedicated. And on the day of dedication, the glory of God came and filled that house. God was giving approval to that house. This house has been built according to my specifications. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Solomon built a temple for God. He didn't just get up and start building. His father David received the design by the Spirit. David took the design and gave to Solomon his son.
And
said, this is the design for this house. He said, I received it by the Spirit. I didn't just get up and design it. God showed me this design. He showed me the shape of the house. He showed me the size of the house. He showed me the materials for this house. Make sure you build according to pattern. Hallelujah. And Solomon built the house. When the house was finished, God dedicated the house. And the glory of God came and filled that house. God had approved that house. Hallelujah. Now Jesus started building a house. Hallelujah.
Amen.
On the day of Pentecost, the glory came and filled that house to show that God had approved what he had done. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That was the former house. We are now at the time of the end. And God is finishing this house. We are in the time of the later house. You are that house. There is a glory that is coming. If your house has been built according to specification, the glory will fill this house. And that's what the Bible means when he says that there is going to be the manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just like God spoke about Jesus at the bank of River Jordan.
Say,
this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And the glory of God filled that house. There is a church that is going to receive the glory of God. That is going to be the manifestation of God's approval. You need to make sure that your house will be approved. What you are building will stand approved. That's why the things we are saying are very important. That each individual should go to God. Get a pattern for your life. Get a pattern for your family. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Get a pattern for your local assembly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that it's just like I want to build a house. I get an architect to design a house for me. And then I take the design I give to a builder. I say, build me a bungalow. And the builder builds me a duplex. Will I be happy with that house? No way I will not be. Because that's not what is in my heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's not enough to do what your neighbor is doing. Or to do what the church has been doing. We all became Christians. And we saw how churches were being run. And we just started running in that way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we're coming to tell you by the word of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That God is about to pull down everything that God has not designed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He will pull it down. God is not afraid of pulling down. A time came when the temple became what it was not supposed to be. It was supposed to be a house of prayer, but it had become a house of merchandise. In fact, at the end of the day, it became a house of robbers. And the disciple was saying, Jesus, what a beautiful temple.
He
said, I'm pulling every stone down. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some people think that the church is wonderful today. I have news for you. God is pulling every stone down to build what he has in his heart. There is going to be a shaking. However big the cathedral is, God will pull it down. Just like he stopped the Tower of Babel, he will always stop anything that man is doing against his will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God wants a body. The mark of a body is that every part of the body is controlled by the head. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is a living body. My hand responds, is the head that gives instructions. Hallelujah. If your hand begins to move on its own, something is wrong with the body. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's a sickness in that body. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So it's my desire, our desire, that you understand this and begin to make up your mind to begin to seek the Lord. Begin to connect with the head. If you begin to seek God, once you make up your mind, say, God, I'm not going to do anything without your instruction. The ball is now in God's court. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's John chapter 7, verse 17. That if any man wants to do the will of God, God will show him that will. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is God's responsibility to show that man the will of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So make up your mind to lay your life before God, to re-examine it. Re-examine your home. My brother was talking about customs and traditions. We are running our families as Baganda men. And which other tribe now? Actually. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're not running them as Christians. We need to look at the scriptures again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you say the word husband, husband means one thing to the actually man. Husband When you say husband, the Baganda man has a different thing in his mind. And God has a different thing in his mind. Praise the name of the Lord. We need to know what God means when he says husband. Yes.
You mean last time, the time before God used to talk through the prophet? Like Isaiah. If he sends Isaiah today, should I consult God first or I just follow what Isaiah is saying?
Okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Good question. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Good question.
Good question.
Now, okay, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says that in the beginning,
Bible,
God spoke to us through the prophets. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But that now, he is speaking to us through his son. Where is that son? Where is he? No, I want to ask, where is that son? Where? Inside your heart. Okay. That's a good answer. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, what am I trying to say? That God has apostles. He has prophets. He has evangelists. He has shepherds. He has teachers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, what is their work? Their work is to minister to the body. As they minister to the body, the body begins to grow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What is this growth? As you grow, you learn to hear God. You learn to know Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The more you grow, the less you need the prophet. The more you grow, the less you need the prophet. Why? Because that prophet is also within you. That ministry is to instruct you to hear his voice. Now, you see, those ministries are temporary. Because the goal of God concerning you, it says, is that they shall all be taught of the Lord. That is where God is going to. Do you understand that? In that day, you shall not teach any man his neighbor saying, know the Lord. Because they shall all know me. From the least to the greatest. God has a program. And the more we come into that program, the less you need pastor. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That was what John the Baptist was trying to share with the people. These ministries are like a forerunner to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Are we understanding this? Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are announcing that the head is taking over his body. The more the head comes, the less relevant you become. Hallelujah. We will not be teaching you like this all the time. We expect that you will grow and begin to hear God and begin to teach others. Hallelujah. And when you come to that estate, we will not come here again. Hallelujah. There was a time when Brother Bot and some other brother were coming from the US. We started at this, we were listening. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we were learning.
Netuiga.
Today we are traveling together.
Katioruale, tutambula.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you are to grow
Katinawe, oluwa kukula.
In the Lord
Mumukama.
And in the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Nemumagezi, mukumanya kwa
Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the way God wants it.
Eyo katonda, yengiri jari agala bibere.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes,
Amen. But the more I was in scripture looking about the born again experience, now I have broken all the totems. The brother called me this morning. The one who was struggling with totems. He said that now he's no longer under the influence of totems. So you see how we are going as a church. There are many things we don't know yet. But let us develop a strong fellowship and relationship. Amen. Amen. Some of us have gone through much experience. We don't know everything yet. First, we are on the same page. God is faithful to help us to go through. Amen. Amen. If there's anything we don't understand very well, we'll just throw away in the trash. Give yourself time to study and read and pray. You know, here in Uganda, when we came to church, we based on the preachers based on two things.
Baba is Sirabari Simba to Vivili.
Come to Jesus,
Jangweri Yesu,
you get money,
Ojafuna Saint,
you'll be well. Come to Jesus,
Jangweri Yesu,
you go to heaven.
Ogenda Mukuru.
I think all Africa. So all we knew is be born again, go to heaven. I remember I never wanted even to go to school. Because Jesus is coming in 2000.
There's
2012. He has not yet here. He wants to do something in me. He wants Christ to be developed in me. So that I become a son. So that is coming, is waiting for the manifestations of the sons.
ng'alindirira okulabisibwa kw'abaana ba Katonda. So there's much God is doing in our lives. Kati waliwo bingi, waliwo kinene Katonda kyakola mu bulamu bwaffe. Just get born again and go to heaven. Bino siri yakuloka buloko sinotoloka n'ogenda mu ggulu. So let us learn together, grow up together. Katika tuyigire wamu, tukulire wamu. Until Christ is confirmed in us. Okutuusa nga Kristo alabisiddwa mu ffe. Thank you Jesus for this day. Yesu tukwebaza olunaku luno. We glorify you Heavenly Father. Tukuwa ekitiibwa kitaffe ow'omu ggulu. We love you. Tukwagala. Thank you for the brothers you brought. Webale kolo buluganda bolese. And today we have had a wonderful fellowship. Ero lwale tufunye kufutabagana okulunji. Different fellowships. Kuvamu mkunga nezenja. And now we are here today. Nerele tuliwa nate. And I know they are going to be going to Kenya. Manyinti wagenda kubanga batambula okugenda Kenya. So to minister the word. Ekuweleza ekigambo. We bless them. Tubawa omukisa. We pray that they may speak the word. Tusaba bayinza okwogera okubulira ekigambo. And we call in your presence to come in every direction, in every step, as we continue in you, in the fellowship of the brethren, let us grow to a mature man. But when this team comes back, they will phone us on another level, the level of maturity in Christ. The seeds they have been planting in us, to bear much fruits, the gospel fruits. We ask you, believing, done in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
Now I want to take back our visitors.
I was like, okay.
That's also.
It's not for yours.
Yeah.
For these people. What did you say?
Yeah.
But we love you.
I think.